I think even threatening to infect their person, you know, or threatening that, you know, they're going to infect their kids. You know, if you go out and you go somewhere, then you're going to be infecting the kids or infecting us. So there's that emotional abuse that might occur. So again, there's many different dynamics that are that could be happening as another layer to the pandemic. And it's not just with adults either. You know, I think about our children and our youth who are also under a lot of stress because their norm is different. So there might be more parent-child conflict going on in the home, you know, because, again, they're everyone's, you know, isolating, and great job to everybody doing that, but we have to really promote doing some type of healthy activities to release some of those energies so that those stressors will lessen. Even animals, I mean, there's research out there that our animals are also experiencing the stress because, again, we know that our pets and our animals that are in our homes or around us, they're going to experience that too because they pick up so much of that energy that's in the home. So they might be acting out. They might be snippy and barking a lot or maybe looking very listless or tired, right? So there's different dynamics that are going to be affecting everybody during this time, which heightens the possibilities of violence.
Yes, indeed. Well, being cooped up 24/7 certainly doesn't help any of us.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah. So tell us, Julia, if we had to come down and see you guys, how is your intake process working? Because all of us are taking certain precautions during this pandemic, and surely the procedure must be different during this time for you as well.
It definitely is different, but I also wanted to just share a little bit before that part, Al, just a little bit more specific about our programming. Because our programming is still here. We're here and we're open and we're providing service. So when someone does, you know, when they do call for an intake, they might be calling for shelter, which is providing, as I mentioned, residential services to adults and their children needing safety and protection. Community counseling is also functioning. So community counseling means that that's more long-term therapeutic counseling for women, men, children, and youth. And right now, again, intakes can occur for that over the phone. Community education is also another program that is currently working, and they are using a lot of the social media sites to be able to give information, promote healthy activities, continue to provide information on what is family violence, intimate partner violence, and sexual violence. And it's also done in a culturally sensitive way. Our youth lodge, they are right now at their capacity. However, they are still taking calls. If youth want to give them a call or give them a shout out on their Facebook page to get support, then by all means, there's the youth lodge. Sonhanjiwa is our sexual assault healing center, and they too are continuing to provide counseling. And again, if they people are interested in doing an intake for them, they would call our intake worker. Our Grand and West Shore Next Step Residential Program, they are usually accessed after someone completes the shelter program, but currently they too are at full capacity, but still being provided service by our staff. And the youth lodge, if someone is interested in an intake for youth lodge, they call the youth lodge number directly, just which is a little bit different with our intakes. So now I'll talk about the intakes. So right now we have intake workers who are available during the week from 8:30 to 7:30 p.m. And if someone needs an emergency service for shelter after that, our 24/7 line is there, which is our main number of 519-445-4324. So that someone will always answer that number if there is an emergency for shelter. But for intake, it just starts with a phone call. It starts with a phone call to ask for help. And our person who, and again, it's always answered by a person. So they can help that person once they call and help figure out what's the best possible plan that they need. Sometimes people call in just to talk, right? They just need to blow off some of that steam or talk about their frustrations, especially now. You know, loneliness is a big factor in people's lives right now, and that can really impede on their well-being. And so, again, we're getting calls from all ages and people just needing to reach out to someone and hear a voice and have someone talk with them about what's going on for them during this time. So it starts with that phone call. And again, the workers will direct that person the best way, whether it's providing them with a brief service, which is that conversation, whether it's doing an actual intake, maybe it's a referral. They might be, asking for a referral for help. They don't know who to call for the emergency food program, or maybe they need a help to know who do I call for, addictions issues, So again, our workers have those numbers available if they need to refer. And then if they do come to the door, we do have a universal screening process upon arrival. So there are questions that have to be asked. However, if someone is saying, I have some of these symptoms, then we do have also a procedure in place to still support them if they are in need of that emergency safety and protection. So again, we're not going to stop them from getting help, but we'll definitely help them with using our tools in place upon that screening. Again, right now, because of the pandemic issues and the safety concerns, we are encouraging phone calls over walk-ins. I know sometimes that's very difficult and challenging because not everyone has a phone. However, that is something that we are asking just for safety measures of everyone. However, like I said, if someone does need to come to the door and ask for help, then we'll go from there. When someone comes into shelter specifically right now, Al, we are asking that they go in for a 14-day isolation period. And we're asking our residents to stay in the shelter during this time anyway, as it's heightened. And, we're still in that phase of pandemic where we haven't moved outside of that. And so we're really encouraging and asking our people that come into shelter to stay within shelter. There's lots to do. And again, there's common areas that they can go to. There's a lot of procedures in place to keep everybody safe. However, that 14-day isolation does occur. And we have bedrooms set up for that specifically. I just want to note, let's really put out there that I know it sounds maybe scary or intimidating that we're asking that, but again, it's in the safety for everyone, and I really have to acknowledge the shelter staff in regards to how they work with our people when they have to come in and isolate, whether they're, and there's no testing done or anything. It's just for everyone's own safety, right, at that point, unless they need testing, of course. But some of the things that they've done is, to help that family when they need to isolate coming in. They have their meals delivered to them and in their own rooms. And we have a great cook who's here, and she is very creative with the meals. I'm going to share a little testimonial from a family that just came out of isolation in a moment, but our cook does great with preparing meals and supplying that to them. They also make it suitable to their dietary needs. If someone has a special diet, then we will definitely, prepare those meals that are suitable to them there. They don't need to be purchasing groceries or formula or anything like that. Shelter provides that for them. Activities are provided to help occupy their time while they're in their in the self-isolation in their rooms. There's TVs in each room, so they have opportunity to have their own TV. We supply movies for them to watch. We use a walkie-talkie system for support. So staff has a walkie-talkie, and the person has a walkie-talkie in their room, so the families can communicate back and forth with staff if they need something. Their laundry is taken care of. Larger families, they can be accommodated too. Like there's the two bedrooms are they're joined, so they they have their own private bathroom. there's two rooms that can, doors can open so they can monitor their children in the other room. So that it's, you know, they do a really good job in supporting those who need to come into shelter. And then after the 14 days, as I mentioned, we're really asking that they follow the self-isolating and stay within the shelter. And then they have access to the kitchen and the laundry while maintaining all the physical distancing, all the sanitation processes, you know, those are in place. Shelter reduces the number of families in the common areas, you know, so they take turns in those areas. Again, and still sanitizing those spaces. We also have a courtyard. I don't know if people know that, but we have a courtyard in the middle of our shelter where they can go out for fresh air. So that's also available to them.